This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Training to prove that he belongs in that rotation. I think he's a dynamic young arm. I like him a lot. I'm high on him big time.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. And now we're broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Hayden Birdsong, and I know the conversation is, we kind of expected going into the spring that it was going to be between Birdsong and why am I blanking?
Landon Roop?
No, Birdsong and Harrison.
Oh, Kyle Harrison
for the fifth starter spot. Kyle Harrison obviously got the opportunity to be that guy last year, and Birdsong got some opportunity down the tail end. But what's so concerning about Kyle Harrison is the velocity, and it's so down. I remember him coming up through the minor leagues, and he was throwing 96, 97. You were thinking, well, maybe he could be this kind of guy once he gets to the big league level, and he's throwing consistently in the low 90s for a lot of last year. And then you think, okay, maybe it's not going to be him, and you have Hayden Birdsong, who really pitched really well.
Didn't just throw,
but pitched well and got out of tough spots, and I think opened some eyes in the organization last year, and he couldn't even win the fifth job. It's really interesting the way that the starting rotation went.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I just look at Harrison, and I don't want to be negative on opening day. The guy needed to go to AAA and get innings. He needs work. If you look at his game logs when he was in the minors, you're referencing his velocity, he was only throwing three innings at a time. The guy wasn't ready to pitch five, six, seven innings. You got to stretch yourself out.
So he could go all out. He could throw 96 every pitch because he knew he wasn't going to throw six innings.
Exactly. I mean, you're going to see a guy in Justin Verlander. He's an old gunslinger. This is a guy who would sit mid-90s and wait till the eighth or ninth inning to blow a hundo.
He's just different.
He's a freak, right? He's an absolute freak. So I think Birdsong deserved to be in the rotation. I'm disappointed that he's not. I think I get the big picture of why they don't want him to. They think that they can kind of, hey, as Jordan Hicks starts to fade, we will slowly integrate Hayden Birdsong, and he'll still get his 140 to 160 innings throughout the year, but it's going to be in a different way, in a piecemeal way. The reality is, in Major League Baseball, it's not five starters. You need 8 to 12, depending on how healthy your rotation is. That's the modern game.
And the Giants are like near the forefront of that. They need as many starting pitchers as they possibly can because you have question marks on a lot of the guys. I mean, Verlander is a different dude, but he's 42.
And coming off of his worst year.
Then don't expect him to make 30 starts.
I agree.
You hope you get 20-plus from him.
If they got 20, I think they'd be thrilled.
Yeah. But you know you're going to need at least a few stopgap starts here and there for him. Robbie Ray coming off of Tommy John, now a couple years removed from that. You hope that you get 20 plus starts from him too. You're hopeful, but you don't really know. And then you've got Jordan Hicks, who, as you mentioned, maybe 2 months from now has to be moved to the bullpen. And then you have a bunch of youngsters.
Yeah.
Or at least guys that haven't really proven themselves at this level. You got Logan Webb, who you can rely on for 30 starts. And then it's a bunch of question marks.
There it is. And if you look at like the sweet spot of why the Giants were the Giants, look at the amount of games started by Kane, Lincecum, Sanchez.
And it's just beautiful.
I'd throw Vogelsong in there, too, like in a row.
Bumgarner, too.
But Bumgarner as well. How did I forget Bumgarner? But like over 30, it felt like 4, 5, 6 years in a row for a lot of those guys. There's something to be said for that, which is why, and as you referenced, Logan Webb's so important to this team. He's so important. He takes the ball, and for every 5 days, you know, all right, we only need to worry about a couple of innings in the bullpen. Yep. And in the modern game of baseball, your arms are going to dictate how far you go. Yes, the bats are going to be huge and driving in runs and all those things. There's no doubt about it. You got to have a great lineup. But if you don't have the arms to be able to throw the innings, you're cooked. No matter how good your team is, you are capping your ability as a franchise if you don't have arms. You gotta pitch and play defense. And I love their defense. I really do. I really like their defense. The pitching, we'll see. That's all I can say. We'll see. I don't know. I have as many questions as you do. Robbie Ray, if I told you he started 22 games, I don't think that's enough for this team.
But I think it's a relatively fair,
that's what I'm saying.
You might be happy he gives you 22, because there's a chance he only gives you 12.
That's what I'm saying. And then where's Carson Wisenhunt in the minors? Is he a guy that is going to come up and we get a look at some point? Is he a guy who's trade bait for something else down the line? Ooh. I don't know. You know, where's Kyle Harrison? What if he just lights out for a month down there and, you need another guy? I am open to all possibilities, and I'm not going to be surprised by anything that happens when it comes to this roster. And I think Verlander and Logan Webb, when it's all said and done, might end up being your two most reliable guys, which is crazy.
Yeah, Webb is definitely going to be it, and you just hope that a 42-year-old Verlander can be. But we were talking about the bullpen earlier. What happens when you don't have reliable starting pitchers like the Giants had last year, whether it was because of age and experience or injury or whatever the reason, then suddenly you have a bullpen who gets overtaxed, and by the time June or July comes around, those bullpen arms aren't as effective.
No.
And then you have no chance to win close games down the stretch.
No. And if this team wants to win in our ballpark, we know what the recipe is. It's pitching, it's defense.
Yeah.
And then timely hitting, small ball. I think they're going to have to do a lot of that again this year.
I think they're going back to that a little
100%.
Bit. There's more of an emphasis on it.
But I'll give them this. Like, you're getting some power at shortstop, and you're getting some power at third base. We haven't necessarily banked on that for a long time.
Yeah. You had Pablo at third. He was going to give you 20 homers on a good year.
I didn't know. Was it Camp Panda? Was it Fat Pablo? Like, which Pablo was I getting?
Good point.
You know,
not
like
the
Matt
2009,
Duffy was a good little giant
not the
for
2009
too.
Panda who won the National League batting title.
Just incredible. Absolutely incredible. No, I'm really excited for this roster, and they have so many questions, and I got like my top five things that I'm like most forward, like looking forward to. Jung-Hoo Lee, to me, is one of the biggest question marks on the team. We haven't even brought him up. I was running the bases last night. I played multiple softball games, and somebody, hey, Shasky, are you ready for Giants baseball? I'm like, yeah, I am. And like immediately, what about Jung-Hoo Lee? And I'm thinking, God, I don't even, I haven't really thought about Jung-Hoo Lee.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I haven't.
Jung-Hoo Lee's like top of mind for me.
Why?
He was such a big name that they signed last year.
Uh-huh.
And all this promise and everything coming out of the organization and everyone who was at spring training last year, this guy is special. He's going to be maybe their best hitter.
Uh-huh.
He's going to get on base. He's got some power. He's got speed. He's going to lead the team in stolen bases. He's a hell of a defensive center fielder. He's going to be the center fielder for like the next 6, 7, 8 years.
But
he's the guy. And then we were robbed of finding out who he is. So there's the promise side of it, and you hope that he meets expectations. Mm-hmm. Who knows if he will? We're going to find out. Hopefully he's given the chance health-wise. Hopefully his body allows him to. I'm just excited to find out who he is.
Were you
impressed?
Because
we've been talking about him for over a year now.
No,
I still don't really know who he is.
Well, that's kind of where I was going with this. Like, 37 games? How many did he play last year, Sammy? 37?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It was Mother's Day was when he went down, so.
Mother's Day. So it's probably in May. Okay. Well, it wasn't enough. Like, you're reading me all the things that I read, or you're telling me all the things I read about him. Oh, great defense, going to hit for power. I didn't see a lot, you know, and I thought he took really poor angles on balls in the outfield. And when Dave Fleming's like, he literally didn't play an outdoor game ever in the Korean League, I was like, what? What? Of all the places to play defense in all of baseball, I would argue one of the hardest out for an outfielder is AT&T Park. And then I would, you know, couple that with now you go to Colorado, now you go to San Diego, now you go to Arizona and Dodger Stadium. All of those are spacious outfields with some weird configurations in the outfield. Like, I've got major question marks on him. I'm excited. I'm optimistic. But the red flags are there.
They're going to need him to be at least decent, though.
Absolutely.
I mean, if he's not, then suddenly the lineup takes a major hit. And if he's not the defender that you thought that he might be.
I mean, Grant, he tripped running in the other day on television. He caught a ball, and everybody's jogging in, and he tripped in the grass. I'm going, oh, God.
Well, he caught the ball. That's all that matters.
What a terrible omen. You don't believe in those things?
No, he caught the ball. He's fine. We all slip up sometimes. Camera just doesn't always see it.
No, I know. I worry about that was a Farhan overpay, and I don't know if he's a Buster guy or not. You know, the new regime, you know, and so I just wonder what we're going to get from him.
I think it's going to be pretty good. I do. That's top of mind for me in terms of things that I'm excited to see about this
team.
Because yeah, honestly, I just don't know who he is, and we have all of the talk about how good that he can be. But like, I'll put it this way, and we'll get into, you know, a successful season for the Giants, and your thoughts are always welcome. 888-957-9570.
Who's your favorite player? Not who's the best. I want to hear from you. Like, it's opening day, for crying out loud.
We've had a lot of texts come in on that.
Yeah, and we'll read them all, but I want to hear from some people. Like, all these people that call in all the time, I love the Giants. Well, today's the day to hear from you. Today's the day. We're 0-0. Farhan's gone. It's a whole new regime. Let's go. Hey! I'm pumped.
Hope springs eternal.
Today is the day of all days that we gotta feel good about ourselves, all right?
Yeah.
We have to.
Possibly.
Come on. We win today, we're tied with the Dodgers.
No, the Dodgers are 2-0.
No, you're still undefeated.
Well, you'd be a half game behind, technically. You're a game behind.
Going winning percentage.
Some names on the text line, 888-957-9570. Not best Giant, but favorite Giant of all time. Will Clark.
Of course.
That's a popular one. Lincecum, Kane, and Pence. That's someone's top three.
A lot of young guys.
Can't argue with those three. I mean, those are great Giants. Benito Santiago gets a mention.
Scarface. What a great name.
It's a good one.
I love Benito.
JT Snow.
Love JT.
The 650 says a younger me dreamt of wearing number 6. JT Snow. What about the 925? He absolutely sucked, but growing up as a kid, I loved Glenn Allen Hill.
Dude, G.A. Hill. Okay, Glenn Allen Hill. My boy was the bat boy. Will Grove. He's out there somewhere. He was so old because he had sideburns and stuff at like 13 years old. We called him the Batman, right? So he would be in the dugout at Candlestick, and he said Glenn Allen Hill was a character. Santa Cruz, Big Surfer. He would always blame the glove when he missed a ball. He would look at the glove and blame the glove.
That's a classic baseball move right there.
Oh, dude, it's not the glove's fault. It's your fault. And he played for the Cubs, played for the Giants. He did have raw power. Unbelievable tools.
Okay. Hum Baby gets a mention.
Oh, Roger Craig. Yeah. Loved him. Number 33.
Let's see. Who else? Jeffrey Leonard, the Hackman.
One flap down.
Walt Weiss gets a couple of mentions.
That's a shortstop for the Oakland A's, though. Manager of the Rockies still? I don't even know.
I don't know if he's still the manager of the Rockies.
Was at one time.
Is Bud Black the manager of the round? Whatever. Oreo Cookie was the dimension for Walt Weiss. Jack Clark,
the Ripper.
Chili Davis.
Chili.
Kyle Kelly on YouTube throwing out Pedro Feliz.
Hey, P Happy.
Wow.
I'm telling you this right now. We dogged Pedro Feliz. He has some good years.
Solid player.
The guy had positional versatility.
Oh, Pedro.
Talk smack.
Oh, Pedro.
There's guys that would die to have Pedro Feliz's career.
He's not one of my favorite Giants, but hey, to each their own. To each their own. All right, who is your favorite Giant of all time? Not the best Giant, but your favorite Giant. You can let us know, 888-957-9570. Plus, I know coming up next, Joe Shasky wants to get into like the five things he's looking forward to with this Giants team this year. You can let us know what you're looking forward to. What's the one thing you are just amped to see on the diamond this year? Let us know, 888-957-9570. That is what's coming up on the game. It's brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Spring into action at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Stay in your car while friendly technicians check oil, batteries, lights, tires, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. And as always, all vehicle types are welcome. It's the Morning Roast. That's Joe Shasky. I'm Mark Grandy, in for Joe Spadoni. More coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
City Edition uniform?
Nike, it's lost me.
It's gross.
There's too many. Look, there are seven teams in baseball, six, however you want to put it, that don't need City Connects. Because they have classic uniforms from their history that should never be touched. You could just go to any decade, and you could pick those jerseys. Oakland A's, now are in Sacramento, their uniforms are immaculate. All of them.
Green is incredible.
And so is the dark green, right? They have so many different, the yellow jerseys, they're amazing. The sleeveless, unbelievable. Yankees, Red Sox, Chicago Cubs, St. Louis Cardinals, the Dodgers and the Giants. Those teams don't need City Connects. You're doing too much.
Especially not like an incredibly off-the-wall, random City Connect like the one that the Giants have.
When I see the neon Celtic jerseys, I go, what are we doing? What? It's the Boston Celtics. What are we doing? You don't need them. Now, for the Arizona Diamondbacks, yeah, have a City Connect. It's great. You know what I mean? Like, they've only been around a fraction of the amount of time as some of those other teams. But when you have all-time uniforms, you don't mess with them.
The Giants have all-time uniforms.
Every one of them.
Their current uniforms, the ones that they normally wear, are already very good.
Of course.
But as you mentioned, the ones from the 80s.
It's incredible.
Elsewhere, they have so many good ones.
I know. And so I'm excited to see them.
Why take away from wearing those great ones by trying to... I mean, it's a money grab is what it is.
Did you like the other City Connects?
Last year's or the last handful
the
of years?
Yeah, the creamsicles.
Better than this one, but I didn't love them.
God, I hate them both. So bad. You know what I call those, right?
What?
The 628s, meaning you just moved to San Francisco.
So you don't have them.
And all the 415 numbers were gobbled up, so you got a 628 number. I mean, those are like literally the gentrifier specials.
Oh, God.
The G stands for gentrifier. Look, Carter's laughing because he knows it's so good.
Yeah, you're true.
I'm on fire right now. All right, are you ready for this year?
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
What are you looking forward to, Shasky?
Well, I'm looking
forward. It's opening day. Let us know.
Yeah, I've got a whole little thing of, I got five things I'm really optimistic about.
Okay.
And then I've got what I would call three major questions.
Oh, yeah.
All right? Three major questions. And I want to hear from the audience. Just give me one thing you're pumped up for. One thing. With the Giants that you're pumped up for. And then who's your favorite player? Not who's the best player you've ever seen. Who is your favorite player? Come on, audience. Let's go. Jonathan Kuminga doesn't high-five Jimmy Butler, and we've got full lines lit. I can't get one. What are you optimistic about, call, for the San Francisco Giants? Let's do this. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Three questions. First question. What do Verlander and Robbie Ray got? I feel like this team is going to go as far as their pitching goes. And if Verlander and Robbie Ray got a little something-something, we're looking at a team that's going to be competing for the wild card spot toward the end of February. The end of September. What does Verlander got left? What does Robbie Ray have as a second act? He's a former Cy Young Award winner. You got multiple Cy Young Award winners in the middle of this rotation. I like some of the other guys, the Roops. And I think Hicks will be okay for a month. I really love Hayden Birdsong. We'll see with some of their guys in the minors. But if Verlander's got something, and if Robbie Ray's got something left, I think they can go far.
Well, if Robbie Ray stays healthy, I mean, he's got incredible stuff. And you mentioned he's won a Cy Young. The question is he going to be able to stay healthy? When he's been healthy, he's a hell of a pitcher.
I agree.
Are Ray and Verlander going to combine for 50 starts, or are they going to combine for 35 starts?
Exactly.
And that's the question. I think Verlander, I mean, he's one of the best pitchers of all time. If he's healthy, he's going to be able to get you out.
I think he's going to be a hog this year.
He's not going to be like an all-star, but he's going to be able to be effective if he's healthy.
I'm not putting anything past this guy. This guy, when you're a scratch golfer, and we know who he's married to, I mean, this man has accomplished things that younger men look up to.
No doubt.
I love this dude. I'm so pumped to see Verlander. I said to these guys, you know, when they signed him, I go, guys, on a Tuesday night, Keaton Wynn, and I like Keaton Wynn, I'm rooting for him, but like, Keaton Wynn starting, or Justin Verlander starting, you're more excited and you're tuning in to Justin Verlander.
Oh, yeah, that'll get you out to the yard.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, on a random Tuesday night against the Colorado Rockies.
Exactly.
Yeah, Verlander's pitching. Let's go.
Exactly. And now, Robbie Ray, like, are we going to get a Carlos Rodon year out of him, or are we going to get, like, an Anthony DeSclafani year out of him? You know, like, I don't know. I legitimately don't know. So I'm really excited. If he is a good player who makes a lot of starts, he is a literal 12 to 17 game winner. Like, that's what he will be. If he's injured and can't pitch for you, you have a gaping hole in your starting
rotation.
Oh,
yeah. Like, I got some questions about the lineup, but by far the biggest concern I have is the starting pitching. And if you just get solid contributions from Verlander and Ray, mm-hmm. suddenly the rotation makes a whole lot more sense. And then you're just, I mean, you have a handful of young guys you could turn to,
yep.
and there's not nearly as much pressure on those if your top three are solid.
So 100%.
I'm with you. 100%.
All right. A couple more questions, and I'm going to give you the five things I'm looking forward to. Mm. I think one of the biggest things when you look at this lineup every single day, DH in first base. I mean, my God, we're really going to trot out Wilmer Flores and Lamont Wade Jr., and that's going to be your DH first base combo?
Yep.
Ah, that's a huge question mark for me. And anybody who wants to cape up for Lamont Wade and his on-base percentage, look, I hear you. But, dog, the guy needs 17 hits from second base to score. He's that slow.
Don't be disrespectful.
That's not disrespectful.
No, it's called
it's
realistic.
True.
It's called realistic.
Sadly.
And so, like, I know he gets on base, but I think first base DH is a huge question mark. We know Bryce Eldridge at some point is going to get that spot. Do they make a move to bring in a legitimate DH? That's the move I think this organization desperately needs.
Gerard Encarnacion is out. They don't have him anymore. He needed surgery on his hand,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, got hit in the hand. Just hit like DeRosa.
They have like a solid 1 through 5 in their order, I think. And we might like be upset with Lamont Wade leading off. But generally, 1 through 5 is not bad.
I would agree.
Like it's pretty good. But then you get elsewhere, and the bottom of the lineup leaves a lot to be desired. They need another bat, at least one. They're two quality bats away from being a legitimate, like, really good offense. Right now, you just have to hope that Adamas performs like he has in his career, that Jung-Hoo Lee meets expectations, that Chapman, who quietly last year, like, played on an MVP level.
Yes.
If you consider offense and defense, you get that again, and Ramos turns out to actually be who he was for the majority of last year. Those are a lot of ifs. Some of them you feel better about than others. If you get that, then the top of the lineup is going to be pretty darn good, but you're still going to have some issues elsewhere. So I'm
100%.
Then they need another bat.
100%. All right. And my other big question is Matos, Casey Schmidt, Luciano, Harrison, are they staying or are they going?
Yeah, Matos made the roster, but how often is he going to play?
Exactly. And to me, like, when I've been hearing about Matos and Luciano and Harrison for so long, my head's going to spin. Obviously, Casey Schmidt, a little more quiet, a little more under the radar. But are these guys staying and they're going to be actually impactful players for your organization? Or are they on the move to net you something of significance? There are guys that are going to be out there. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is out there. He has not signed an extension with Toronto Blue Jays. Could these guys be helpful to you in a package or on the field? That's a number one question for me. For this entire organization, what is Buster going to do with that collection of players that has been kind of stockpiled and stuck behind other players in this organization or have underperformed? Do they have a spot here or elsewhere?
I think at the very least, what you need to figure out this year, whether it is playing them mm-hmm. and then turning out to be good or playing them and then turning out to be bad or whatever, you just need to make a decision on like their future with the organization and not like some of the other guys, like necessarily a Carson Wisenhunt or anybody like that. Like, you know, you have confidence that he's going to be a piece for you in the future, maybe a few years down the road and be a starting pitcher for you. But guys like Matos and Luciano, are they going to ever be a consistent part of your big league club? Because if the answer is no, you don't feel like it, then what's the harm in moving off of them and trading them away and getting something back in return?
I 100% agree.
Make a decision one way or the other.
Absolutely. All right. Before I go to my top five things that I'm most pumped up about this year, where is the audience? Like, what is going on here? It's opening freaking day. San Francisco Giants are playing, and we can't even get a couple of calls.
We got a call right now.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like Bob Fitzgerald. I'm going to put you in the tornado move. Carter's smiling. If I hear the tornado move one more time on NBC.
Oh, the famous Wiggins tornado move, right?
Yeah.
We got a favorite player caller. You want to go to it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Do it. 888-957-9570. Anything you want Giants related, but specifically favorite Giants player of all time, not just best Giants player, your favorite Giants player of all time, and what are you looking forward to this Giants season? Up first, it's Skills in Vallejo.
What's up, Skills?
What's up, Skills?
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a favorite Giant. It is Mike Morse. He was only here for one-plus seasons, but in that one-plus season, he showed so much exuberance. He loved being a Giant. He hit that big home run off Pat Neshek in the 2014 NLCS. He had to hit the ultimately won Game 7 of the 14 World Series against Kansas City, which people forget. That single ended up holding up. Then he comes back in 2017, and I'd like to share with you, if I could, a quick story related to the end of his career.
Go ahead.
Okay. Now, in 2017, I worked for Amazon, May 30th, and I was doing my route as usual, and I was about to drop off to a customer's house with Strickland and Harper start to battle, and I just knew something was going to happen. So I'm half in, half out the vehicle holding a box. Strickland plunks Harper. The fight starts. It's on. And I'm just glued. I'm half in, half out. I'm just making all these gyrating, not even knowing what I'm doing. I'm gyrating and making sounds. And I'm still holding this woman's package. And after about three, four minutes of this, I look up and I finally realize, oh, shoot, I'm at work. I got to take this box up to the porch. I look over. She's looking at me through the door like, who is this nut sitting at my door? I'm doing all this gyrating with my box. Can you just bring my package? So the fight had me so wound up and worked up, I completely forgot what I was doing, where I was. So I gave her a package. And then, of course, Mike Morse's career ended that day thanks to the collision with Samardzija, and which was all set in motion by Strickland, of course. But he's still my favorite Giant, even though he was only here for that year and a half.
Hunter Strickland. I mean, that guy.
Great story, Skills.
The gift that keeps giving. Hunter Strickland. the guy, the best was when Buster didn't move at all. It was just like, this guy.
Yeah, whatever,
I mean, this
man.
Guy. Just go, yeah. Just go and knock him out.
He wasn't gyrating?
Michael Morse, though, was a really good Giant.
Oh, he was a very good Giant.
Ultimate DH. Loved him. He knew what he was up there to do. Swing the big stick, dude.
Oh, man. And the decision by Bochy to bring him in.
All time.
NLCS.
The home run down the line,
five.
Holding the bat in the air as everyone's going absolutely bonkers. Is there anything better than, I'm dead serious on this, playoff baseball atmosphere at Oracle?
No, there's
when
nothing.
When someone hits a big home run? I think it's better than football, basketball, all of them. There's nothing like it with all the orange towels going crazy. God, I miss those days.
I mean, that game, we remember the Ishikawa walk-off. Giants win the pennant. Like, an amazing moment.
All
but
time.
That does not happen without Morse's home run to tie it.
God, it was so amazing.
Amazing.
So amazing.
And the way that his long hair flowing on the back as he's running the bases, holding his hand up. He goes back into the dugout. Everyone's throwing the seeds up in the air on him. Bochy's just calm as always. Bochy's just like, yeah, I made the right decision because I always do in the playoffs.
More
except often 2016. Than not.
But no, I would say that, no doubt. And Michael Morse was awesome. Are you ready for my five things I'm pumped up for?
Yes.
All right. And you're going to learn this about me. Granny man, I can never just do a list with just five. I have to have an OLI, outside looking in.
Huh, okay, is that where you're starting?
Outside looking in.
Number
things I'm
one.
Pumped up for. Because they're on the outside looking in. Bryce Eldridge and Wisenhunt.
Oh.
We're going to get a chance to see Eldridge this year. I know the Giants are selling us short on this. We're going to see Eldridge. I don't know when. I know that they're playing it smart. They're doing the reverse of what they did with Luciano. They're not going to try to sell me on something that they're unsure of. They're underselling so that it over-delivers. We're going to get a chance to see Bryce Eldridge, and I think we're going to get a chance at some point down the line, probably September, to get a look at the lefty Wisenhunt. I think they're really high on Carson Wisenhunt.
I mean, Bryce Eldridge is like the biggest name in the franchise, and he's not even hasn't even had a single at-bat in the major leagues yet.
It's incredible.
That's how starved this franchise is for a homegrown bat, specifically a power bat. And considering, I mean, there's a reason why the biggest hole this team has right now is probably at first base.
Yes.
Because they are planning for that to be his spot for the next decade plus.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, look, you can never have enough bats. So if a DH is out there that you can go get, go get him. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I wanted him to go get Pete Alonso.
Yeah, why not?
Could you imagine this lineup with Pete Alonso today?
It would feel a whole lot different.
Everyone would feel totally a lot different. All right, that brings me to number five.
Number two.
Number five, bro. We work backwards. Number five.
Okay.
All right.
The first one was outside looking in, Carter. Come on, lock
that
in.
That was OLI. Number five, Jung-Hoo Lee. I'm very pumped to just see it.
Yeah.
I have my own red flags. I'm worried about this guy's got a lot of money on the books over the next couple of years. Center field is a vital defensive position in our ballpark, even though they brought the fences in a little. They need this guy to not just be solid. I mean, he's got to be a good player. I don't know what the numbers need to be. I don't want to throw. He's got about 300 and hit 20 home runs. Just we'll know if he's good or not. And I think if he's good, that gives us an Asian superstar, which we've been begging for in this particular market. And it doesn't have to be superstar, but I'm talking about like locally. Because Panda wasn't a superstar nationally, but to Giants fans, he was a star.
Oh, no doubt.
And they marketed him like a star. Brandon Belt wasn't a star, but they marketed him like a star. And a lot of people like Sam Lubman drank the Kool-Aid and thought he was, right? Jung-Hoo Lee, if he's just good, can be marketed locally like a star.
Yeah,
and
no
I
doubt.
Think that's really important.
He kind
for
of
the
already
Giants.
Has been a little bit, at least by the team.
Absolutely,
but we don't know who he is as a player yet. I think, I mean, the way that this Giants franchise has won championships and been at their best, it's on the backs of pitching and defense. And if Jung-Hoo Lee turns out to be a good defensive center fielder, Shasky, suddenly you have maybe the best defensive catcher. You have a good defensive shortstop and a great defensive third baseman, and then you have a good defensive center fielder, like up the middle.
It's a game changer.
Three most important spots on the field defensively.
For a team that led baseball, if we look at the last 3 years, in errors.
Oh, yeah.
And by a wide margin.
Like, the Giants could get the same production from their hitters this year, and just by virtue of what they're doing defensively, they will win, like, at least 5-6 more games as a result.
Which is a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's alive. And, like, God, they just need to do it. All right, number four. You ready for number four?
Number four.
Carter, you going to do it? Number four.
Number four.
There you go. I'm pumped up for what I call the bounce back candidate of the year. Some people are already out on him, and that's fine. I want to see it. I want to give this young man the benefit of the doubt. Camilo Duvall.
Okay.
I am excited to see Camilo Duvall. 92 career saves. Last year, a near 5 ERA. It can't get worse than last year. Felt alienated by the staff, the players, himself. His performance was awful. He was leaking confidence everywhere. Pitch clock was in his head. He couldn't throw a strike. If this guy gets right, he has blowaway stuff. If he's mentally all there and he gets his mechanics under wraps, because I do think the mechanics were a big part of it. He's got a lot of this weird push-off pause thing. If he can get that under wraps, he is the wild card for the bullpen. And if he's good, I feel like the entire bullpen could be great.
He's a missing piece for sure. They missed him so much last year. And what happened to him was he would get in some trouble years before when he led the league in saves in 2023.
Oh, it gets hairy.
Classic Giants closer,
yeah,
right?
I mean, Brian Wilson used to walk the bases loaded and then strike two out in a row.
Yeah, classic. What happens when you're a Giants closer? You just get in hairy situations. He was able to get out of it. What changed last year, maybe it was pitch clock related, things would just snowball. You'd walk one, and then you guarantee next guy's going to be walked as well.
100%.
Or maybe he wouldn't walk him. He just hit him.
How many times did he shake off the catcher? No, I don't want to throw that pitch. I don't trust that pitch. Like,
it just snowballed on
him. He's got to get confident. Confidence is huge in sports. We don't talk enough about it.
Specifically for a pitcher. And specifically for a pitcher in a high-leverage situation out of the bullpen.
100%.
So, yeah, confidence, huge.
Number three thing.
Number three.
There you go.
I don't know if you know this. Last year, this young man led the team in hits, doubles, RBIs, and home runs. has the second most home runs in a Giants uniform in a season since Barry Bonds. Yeah, he struck out 150 times, and he's going to strike out. Again, he led you in homers, hits, doubles, and RBIs, and was second on the team in stolen bases. Matt Chapman.
And played a great third base.
I love Matt Chapman. I think Matt Chapman was born to be a San Francisco Giant. I think he was born to be a Buster Posey San Francisco Giant. And I think that this man, by the end of the year, will be viewed the way we viewed Hunter Pence, where it was like, you just fit. You fit the culture, the team. Now, Hunter won a championship, and Hunter was a vocal leader that he's not going to necessarily be. But I just think that Matt Chapman reminds me so much of the way he goes about things, like Brandon Crawford. But he's a better hitter than Brandon Crawford, and he gives me all the same defense as Brandon Crawford. And I love everything about him. Matt Chapman is a guy that I love, and I know I'm higher on him than most. Watching him every single day last year made me appreciate how he goes about it. He was born to be a Giant. I love Matt Chapman.
He was awesome last year. A little bit of a slow start offensively, but second half of the season, hitting the ball, he was absolutely incredible. I'm with you. He's going to have another really good year if the Giants are going to be good. But you just have a guy, finally, that the fan base can count on to play 150-plus games every single season, and that is a good dude, a great baseball player, and the fan base can just buy their jersey, wear it confidently, knowing he's going to be around for at least a few more years.
He led the team in RBIs last year. How many RBIs was that?
Like 75?
78. How pathetic is that?
Not great.
That tells me guys aren't on base.
Nope.
Right? And I want him coming up, driving runs in. Now, he struck out a lot. I think his slow start to the beginning of last year was because he got in late. You know, he got in late. This year, he was red hot in spring training. Mm. I don't want to make too much of it because, look, the hitters are going to be ahead of the pitchers. But, boy, wouldn't it be great for him to get off to a red-hot start?
What are you predicting,
year?
A home run today?
I just think Matt Chapman's going to be
a great American ballpark?
He's dialed in, dude. He's ready. He's freaking ready.
Hitter's yard.
Ready for number two?
Huh? Number two.
And, look, if you're out there, 888-957-9570, give me one thing you're pumped up for with the Giants. It's freaking opening day.
Let's go.
Are the young guys real? Is Ramos real? Is Birdsong real? Is Tyler Fitzgerald's three-week stretch last year, is that who he is? Or is he the guy who struck out 20-plus times in spring training? What's real with him? And then I look at Patrick Bailey. Can he put together a full season? I look at that collection of young guys that's in the bigs right now. Ramos, Birdsong, Fitzgerald, Bailey. And I'll throw Matos in there because he made the team. Are three of those guys real? Not all of them are going to come up. Like, I remember when the Cubs, they had Starling Castro and Jason Hayward, and all, they had all these random young guys all at once. Hayward wasn't the main young guy, but they had all these young guys at once, and not all of them are going to hit Schwarber at a time. Or are they going to hit on a couple of these guys and just be mainstays? Good everyday players. Can Tyler play second base? Can he hit enough to stay in the lineup? Is Ramos real? Was the first half who he is? Or was the second half who he was? I don't know. And then Patrick Bailey. I love him defensively. But is he going to fall off a cliff come August 1st?
That's a concern I have.
Right? Or are these guys real?
Who are you most confident out of that group? Talking about offense specifically. Like Patrick Bailey, we know what he's going to do for you defensively.
I like Ramos a lot.
I think so too.
I like Ramos a lot.
I mean, he's the one who's done it for the longest,
yes,
at a high level at the big league level. So
absolutely.
I think you got to go him.
I do too. I don't think he's special. I think he's a really good ball player. That's what I think he is, a really good ball player.
If he's like the fourth best bat in your lineup, you got a pretty good lineup.
Give me 20 and 75. You do 20 and 75, that's a good year. Like,
yeah.
We'll take that. Again, Chapman had 78 RBIs last year.
Led the team.
I mean, you know, because if he goes for over 70 and 20, that tells me Willie Adames is doing things and Chapman's doing things and Jung Hoo Lee's doing things, because I don't know where he's going to bat in the lineup right now. He could bat leadoff. He could bat fifth, right? If he was in the middle of the order, I would want more RBIs. So if he's going to be your leadoff guy, it's totally different.
You got to be bat fifth, right? I think he'll be bat fifth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The number one question for the Giants.
Number one.
They gave out the largest contract in San Francisco Giants history to this guy. All right, the largest contract in San Francisco Giants history. And Milwaukee's a really smart organization. They are who everyone talks about the Tampa Bay Rays have as, but they actually give out shrewd contracts appropriately. Jackson Chourio got a mega deal, you know? Like, they handpick who they want to keep.
Young star, Jackson
They couldn't
Chourio.
Afford this guy. They loved this guy. He was a huge team leader. Tampa Bay loved this guy. Okay? Those are two of the smartest organizations in baseball. But did he play his best baseball in Tampa Bay and in Milwaukee? And they're, you know, selling on the fact that he's not going to play his best ball in his 30s? And that's probably a pretty decent sell. But who is Willy Adames? Is he a guy who's going to bat with 25 home runs and 80-plus RBIs and play in 155 games every year? Or is he a guy who he's already played his best baseball? Like, that's a legit concern. But I want to know who this guy is. I am more pumped to see this guy than anyone else on the team. I love that they mic'd him up the other day. They mic'd him up, and he has got a personality. He's got the purple glove. He obviously has a great arm. He got good range, and I love the way he takes his at-bats. They needed a Latin leader in that team who had the equity as a big league ball player. Like, I love Wilmer, but Wilmer's a part-time player. You got to be an everyday player to be a leader in a clubhouse. I hope that they got that guy.
He's the guy who the second that you add him to the clubhouse and add him to the team, he just changes the vibe immediately. And obviously, Buster Posey is a big reason why this team, this organization feels a little different. Mm-hmm. Adames and Posey, you can thank for Adames. The reason why Adames signed here was because he trusted Buster Posey's vision, which is a huge thing as well. But Adames is a culture builder, much like Matt Chapman, who you were talking about earlier. I think number one reason for me to be excited about and pumped up for this year is just having the ability to fall in love with a player like Willy Adames.
Ooh, I like that.
Haven't had a player like that in a long time.
Man,
that combination of on-field ability and off-field or even on-field personality. Like, I mean, Hunter Pence comes to mind first in terms of the personality and the ability performance combo. I'm so excited just to be able to watch Willy Adames every single game this whole season. He's probably going to play close to 162. The only reason he didn't play 162 last year was because after the Brewers clinched a postseason spot, the manager basically begged him to sit out one day, and he was like, I don't want
to. Was that Craig Counsell before he went to the Cubs, or did he go to the Cubs last year?
Craig Counsell was the manager last year for the Cubs, right?
He did go to the Cubs last year.
I forget who was the Brewers.
Because he left the Brewers and went to the Cubs. Yeah, all right, good, yeah.
But he was going to play 162 otherwise.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited to see a guy like that every single day.
So is that your number one thing that you're like most pumped for?
Pumped for, yeah.
Really? Willy Adames?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are going to get to know him. You know, I think Chapman, we kind of had an idea who he was with the A's. And look, A's fans told me, and I was pessimistic. Like, I don't know about Chapman, you know?
Well, we got a text here from the 510. Stop it, Joe. Matt Chapman was born to be an Oakland A.
Sadly, he was, and they should have kept him, and they didn't. But you know what? It's to the Giants' benefit.
Yep.
And he's a great ball player. He won me over, like, really quickly. And I was wrong on him. And so... Like, I like guys that go about it in a grinded out way and just are literally obsessed with being the best. And I really feel that way when it comes to Matt Chapman. He is squeezing every ounce out of his body. Those are the guys I appreciate the most in sports.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm excited to see Willy Adames. I think he's cut from a similar cloth as Chapman. He's got a little more personality, though. Got a little more personality. Lubman, what is the one thing you're most pumped up to see this year?
I mean, you mentioned it earlier. It is the return of Robbie Ray. I am very excited to see, especially with that Tarik Skubal cutter that he's added to his pitching arsenal this year. I'm very excited to see him as the number two starter of this rotation. And depending what you could get out of Justin Verlander, I think you'll get some quality production out of Verlander, hopefully for the whole season at 42. There's a little bit I need to see it. But this pitching staff in general looks really good. The bullpen in particular. When you got Eric Miller, Tyler Rogers, Camilo Duvall, Ryan Walker closing games out, like, you could make this game six innings long with how good this bullpen could be. Like, the run prevention from this team should be very fun to watch. Plus defenders at every position except for maybe first base. It's for everything I've seen and from what I'm hearing, Buster Posey is slowly kind of turning this team back into the kind of organization we saw under the Brian Sabian era. And that's what I'm most excited to see, is just this return to a familiar formula of baseball that really kind of captured Giants fans a decade ago. Because let's be honest, the last 5 years, there was not a whole lot of appealing baseball. So seeing that return to that formula, I'm very excited to see how that looks on the field this year, and just see a team that grinds teams down every night, because this could be a very low-key good team this year.
So you got an everyday shortstop. You got an everyday third baseman. You got an everyday center fielder. You got an everyday catcher.
An everyday left fielder.
Okay.
I feel that way about Ramos.
So think about where we were just a couple years ago. We didn't have one everyday player.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Crawford, maybe. But like, even
but
then...
You didn't feel great about it.
Exactly. One, two, three, four, five. Do I put Yaz and Fitz as everyday players?
No, I'm not totally sold on that.
What about Fitz?
No.
No? Okay. No. Five's a great start.
Yeah.
Five's a great start.
You got the backbone of a team here. You just don't have it complete yet.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. But think about where we were a couple years ago. Like, I was so angry. Like, who's going to play? This is my favorite one. I used to say this all the time. Granny. Game for your life. This is the 2023 Giants. Give me the lineup to win today. And it would be like, well, who's pitching? It's like, are you kidding me? Go throughout the lineups of baseball in the history of the game. It's like, we're going Judge, Stanton, Volpe, you know, Goldschmidt now. Like, the Yankees know what they're doing. Yeah, there's a couple guys they might platoon or move down or move up in the order or whatever.
Yeah, am I facing a lefty? Or
the entire Giant lineup would be dependent on who they're facing. And it's refreshing to have shortstops sewed up. Center field, hopefully sewed up. Third base sewed up. Catcher sewed up, and left field sewed up. That's a big difference.
Center, short, third, catcher, like premium positions.
100%.
And you like, don't have questions there.
Well, and Ramos is no slouch in the outfield. I don't think of him as, like, he's average. I wouldn't think of him as negative, do you?
No, and I'm just saying the left isn't necessarily like a premium position. Like center, third, and catcher. Like those are maybe the four most important positions on the field.
I think right field in our ballpark is really important.
You got a good defensive right fielder.
I would argue one of the best.
Yeah.
You know, one of the best. A good arm, plus range, understands where to position himself. I'm excited for today, man. I'm excited for this team.
And I think we got some Giants fans that are excited as well.
888-957-9570.
Who are you fired up to see? What are you fired up to see about this Giants team this year? And also, favorite Giant of all time? Not just best Giant, but favorite Giant of all time. You can talk anything Giants you want here on the Morning Roast. It's Shasky and Grandy with you. Up first is Kenneth in San Francisco.
What's
up, Ken?
Yo, what's going on, y'all?
What's up, man? You pumped?
Oh, come on, bro. It's opening day. Man, just feelings all over the place. Emotions all over the place. Real quick, two of my favorite Giants, Hunter Pence. I mean, just his intensity, the way he played the game, was always fired up. And Ryan Vogelsong. I mean, he was just always pissed off.
Yeah,
when he went to the mound, and that's why I just love that about him. But yeah, go Giants. Screw the Dodgers. Let's go.
Let's go.
Appreciate that, Ken.
I loved Ryan Vogelsong.
Vogie's a great pick.
Just totally maximized his whole ability.
Oh, yeah. Grinder.
I loved him. He started an all-star game.
He started an
all-star? I think he was a 2011. I think he did. Did he end up starting that game?
He started the all-star?
I know he was an all-star that year.
I don't think he started the all-star.
You sure?
I might be wrong.
I could be wrong.
I don't think so.
I know he was an all-star one year.
Vogelsong is the kind of pitcher, and he's kind of in like the Max Scherzer mold, where he's just...
He's not Scherzer.
I mean, but he's just on the mound 24-7 pissed off.
Oh, that's true, yes.
You know what I mean?
Like
Scherzer just muttering to himself.
Yes.
Calling out the batter, and only he can hear it, and he's in his own...
He didn't start. He was an all-star in 2011. Sorry, I'm cutting you off.
You're good. Didn't start, though.
I knew he was an all-star. I thought he started that game. I'll take it.
But those kind of pitchers who are just... absolutely living and dying on every pitch.
Carlos Rodon was that way.
Oh, yeah.
Carlos Rodon was high intensity throw. That's why I liked him. Robbie Ray, I feel like, gets like that.
Oh, yeah.
He's very intense. Verlander is more calm, cool, collective. I get nostalgic when I think about opening day. I want to go play catch right now.
We can go through some of our opening day memories a little bit later if you want. I mean, there's a lot of them.
I've got a nightmare from opening day.
Uh-oh.
Well, yeah, it's Mark Melancon.
Yeah, that ruined Madison Bumgarner's two home runs in
and
Arizona.
And 7 innings pitched.
Yeah. Gosh, man, Bumgarner was special. 888-957-9570. Favorite Giant of all time, and what are you fired up? What are you excited to see from the Giants this year? Let's go to Will, who's in Marin.
What's up, Will?
What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, so my favorite player of all time as a kid was Jason Schmidt. I used to love him going out there mowing people down with that over-the-top fastball and that curveball that falled off the table. I'll never forget. My mom bought us tickets to go see them against the 04 Red Sox, and I'll never forget the one hitter. He gave up a double to, like, left center off the wall, and we were like, well, yep, the 2004 Red Sox is going to be a good one, and then he was just like, nah. He just mowed him down. I think it was, like, 9 Ks, 2 walks, something sick like that, and just shut him out. We won 4-0. What I'm most excited to see is the two Jays, Justin and Jung. I think Jung is going to be really good. I don't think he's going to be the 330 hitter from Korea, but I think he could be a really good, like, 280, 290 hitter, a nice OPS, and I really think he's going to give us some speed that we lack on the base paths. Him and Fitzgerald should be good stealing some bases. And I've been watching Verlander this spring, and I know that you don't really want to look anything into it because it's spring. But, I mean, Justin Verlander literally was cruising at, like, 96 the other day. And outside of his last outing where he gave up 4 runs, I mean, he was mowing people down and looked every bit the part. A nice high leg kick, good fastball, great stuff. I'm really excited to see those two, and I think we're going to have a lot better year than we think. Are we going to win a World Series? Maybe not, but I think we're going to be contenders, and people are going to start taking us more seriously.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you on that.
Thanks, Will.
Jason Schmidt was so good for the Giants. 0-1 trade, 7-1 that year, 13-8, 17-5, 18-7, 12-7, 11-9. The arm just gave out. He had a 2.34 ERA the year that they went wire-to-wire in the NL West in 0-3. He was so good. I mean, oh God, Jason Schmidt was amazing.
He was the ace. Like when I first remember like paying attention to Giants baseball, like every single day, he was the ace.
Absolutely. As a guy born in
96, when I got to like 03, 04, and I can remember.
So old.
And I can remember watching Giants baseball. It was Jason Schmidt. He was that dude. And then he became a Dodger.
Well, he was at the end of his road, you know. Everybody becomes a Dodger at one point. Yeah. Do you remember Oral Hershiser becoming a Giant?
I don't remember it, like, watching
it,
but I know it.
The most sacrilegious thing that's ever happened.
Yeah.
Brett Butler was a Dodger and a Giant, but Butler was also an Indians or Cleveland. I don't even know. Are we allowed to even say that? I don't even know. I'm not even sure these days.
Yeah. I mean,
gosh.
There's so much crossover between the Giants and the Dodgers. All right. Injury report time.
For the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, injury report. Stephen Curry is listed as questionable for tomorrow night's contest against the Pelicans. Curry was able to participate in team workouts, but was not feeling quite right at the end of practice, which was why he was held out of Tuesday night's game against the Heat. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr is hopeful a full week off from action will be enough time for Steph to heal and be ready for the final stretch run. Again, the Warriors in New Orleans tomorrow. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. Time for a break now here on The Morning Roast. It's Joe Shasky, Mark Randy, in for Joe Spadoni. We've got Dave Fleming, voice of the Giants, coming up in a little more than half an hour at 8:30. Plus, we're still taking your calls. Tori and Travis, I see you. We're coming to you when we come back. Favorite Giant of all time, and what are you pumped to see from the Giants this year? We're taking your calls the rest of the show here. 888-957-9570. That is what's coming up on The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. More of The Morning Roast next on 95.7 The Game.